care. He can't even be sideways with you. He can't be backwards with you. It goes against his character. Goes against his word. But what he can do is be good. Win. All the time. All the time. Isn't he good all the time? Huh? He's good. Oh yeah, he's good. How many of you are movie buffs in here? Movie buffs? You like watching movies? I'm going to take you back a bit with, you know, John Travolta back in the day with Polyester, the Silk, you know. Sitting there in a cafe talking to this highfalutin type of woman. And she starts talking about Sidney Poitier. And he says, and he acts like he knows. And like, oh yeah, you know. He goes, oh yeah, he's good, he's good. Oh, he's real good. He's good. He didn't know what he's talking about. Oh, he's good. Remember that? Sitting there? Oh yeah, he's good. I mean, we can say he's good, but not know he's good. Until you experience him for yourself. Huh? Don't be going and celebrating a God that your mom and dad knew. You got to know God for yourself. And you got to grab hold of God for yourself. Then you can say, oh, he is good. He is good. Even in the midst of adversity. And all kinds of craziness and silliness. All kinds of things stopping you in your tracks. Holding you back. Because misunderstood. Every kind of people want to look at you and misunderstand you. But the reality is God knows everything that's inside of you is to mean well and to mean good. You have a teaching anointing that's on your life, sir. And that teacher's anointing is going to be able to teach others on how to obtain God and his promises. There's a revelation and illumination of the word that comes upon you at the time when God wants to speak something fresh in you. He's going to begin to change the way that you begin to dissect the word. It's going to be a little bit different on how you begin to put things together. And when it comes together, it'll be something that they need to hear. See, when I sense about you, sir, I don't know you from Adam, Eve, Steve, whoever. But as you were worshiping, I felt that you had gone through that season. And that season of ambiguity, not knowing what step to take. But there was going to be some clarity that was coming to you to know exactly what for you to do. Where you're going to go and where you're going to plant. You're in the middle of a transition, but listen to the word of the Lord in your transition. What is it that you want? And that's when he's going to ask you, what is it that you want? And you have the right to say the double portion. See some stripping that's happened to you. Past 4 years have been stripping and changes. But there's going to be some changes with clarity and understanding for you. So I bless you, sir. I bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 God is good in his nature, but God is good and true to his word, is he not?
Who made a drug deal?
Testimonies testify of his goodness, his promises, and everything that he intends for you. Isn't that true? Well, when you see the word come manifest, you know that God speaks truth. There's other words that are sitting in this house that have gone forth that have manifested. We could be here all night. But I know one thing is for sure, is that when God speaks, when he speaks, you yourself have a responsibility to believe. The devil's job is to get you not to believe. So he'll try everything to make you curse your word. Get your Bibles, if you would, please. I want to share something with you that's been on my heart. When we begin to see these manifestations that were taking place, I promise I'll have you out of here early enough for you to go home and watch the news and you know, stop off at Mama Margie's, get some bean and cheese, about 15 of them and stuff. You know how we do. But if you're like me, you make sure you go get the chips and the hot sauce. You can get full on that, and then, you know, and then you get bean and cheese, so you'll be all right. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, please. Chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And I want to title this message, Let Your Word Be Fulfilled. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, and verse 5 through 38. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. You take your time to read the story and understand it. But it's an account that is written on everything that has been verified so that you have an understanding that is true. We begin reading at verse 5, and it says, out of the NIV version, it reads, In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as high priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing in the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many a people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of the power and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Then the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Pardon me. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, grace the people to understand that this word is going forth for them to believe your word and not to doubt and not to grumble within themselves to see whether or not it will come to pass. Prepare their hearts to receive it, Lord. But more importantly, God, I thank you that you shall be seen in these very scriptures of passage. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. What I want to show with you real quick is that the angel of the Lord came to the priesthood, came to Zechariah. He's in there doing his priestly duties, correct? He's doing everything he has to do. He's been appointed by Aaron, the descendant of Aaron. They're the high priest to go in, and they do all the work to the temple, okay? But his wife is childless. She's barren. She can't have any children. And then the angel of the Lord comes in. That right there is a miracle in itself. But we kind of skip over that real quick because we want to get to the story, the nativity. We want to get to the point where Christmas is about to be announced and Christ is about to come. And we miss the fact that an angel comes into the very presence and speaks a word. Speaks a word to him while he's doing his priestly duties. But if you read there, you see that he questioned, how will I know? How will I know this is to be true? How many of you have asked the same question when you hear a prophetic word? How do I know that's going to be true? You're going to see a pink elephant fly by. It's going to have purple stripes on it. We ask stupid things. You know we do. We know. If I know this is you, God, you're going to show me a sign on the side of the road. And I know that what you spoke, and I know it, you'll confirm it again. Because we want signs. Well, then you see what happens here after the word is spoken, he says, oh, because you didn't believe? I'm going to shut your mouth. Now, I can get kind of silly here because you know how I am, but read the Bible yourself. He leaves his priestly duty. Can't speak. Goes home to Elizabeth. Goes home to his wife. Can't speak. Are you following me? Sometimes you have got to shut your mouth so that some things can take root in your life. Because you have a tendency to open your mouth too much. You have a tendency to start cursing the very word. You have a tendency to start cursing everybody because you just got off of work and you're mad. You don't know what kind of traffic I've been dealing with. It's cold outside and it's raining and I'm trying to get to where I need to get and people are just cutting me off. You know how we get. Especially around this time of year, people are getting ready for their Christmas parties and checking their list and checking it twice and make sure they don't miss all the eggnog and liquor. Beer. Make sure you have ice. Make sure the menu is good. You know, we get so preoccupied. But maybe what God is saying here in this scripture is that sometimes he has to send something of the supernatural to get your attention. Because you're so used to running off at the mouth. You're so used to kind of carrying on at the mouth. You always want to tear some people down. You want to tear your wife down. You want to tear your children down. You want to tear your pastor down. You stop it. But you want to tear somebody down. So then what he says is that, you know what? Because I'm going to shut your mouth and you won't even be able to speak. Done deal. You ain't going to speak nothing. Matter of fact, that's the only way you're going to get you some. Prophecy come to pass. I hadn't finished my sentence. Read the word. Once that happened, you don't think that Elizabeth said, what's wrong with you? You ain't got nothing to say now. What was his excuse? And she's old. Read your word. He gave it. She's old. Well, that's probably why they hadn't gotten pregnant. Because his mouth kept getting him in trouble. Look. I'm just trying to talk to you about just a prophetic word. And sometimes we got to learn it. Be quiet. Because the one that we take it out on is the one that we're closest to. It's a Christmas story I'm about to tell you, though. It's just a Christmas story. I'm just telling you Bible. Y'all looking at me like, this is rated R. What you talking about in here, man? Huh? Yeah, it's relevant. Take it for the word that it is. You're going to keep your mouth shut. So that the word can come to pass. Because you're so negative on the way it's going to come to pass. Because if it had been your way, you would have tried to make some things happen your way. You would have tried to make it happen your way. And say that it was Yahweh. But it was your way, not Yahweh. You follow me now. See, he's got to get you to the point where you've got to pay attention that there is something that is about to take place, but you got to keep your mouth shut. And when he speaks something into existence, there's nothing that you can do but to obey God. And when you can't speak something, you know, he had the ability to do writing some things down and say what he wanted to say. But I believe that his wife said, I ain't listening to you because I don't have to. Say something to me now. What you got to say? Cat got your tongue? That's what I thought. Think about it. Don't just read it. Skim through it. Okay, he was silent, and then they had a baby, and then when John comes in, his mouth opens. That's a long period of time being quiet. Isn't that a long period of time? Just because it's the Bible, don't think you're going to be pregnant, and tomorrow you're having the baby. It don't happen like that. Oh, look, you're going to go through a process. And what was that process? Was the process so that John the Baptist could come forth? Or was the process so that the high priest would understand that the word of the Lord has power? It's not your service. Because it said they were rightful. They were righteous and they did everything. They knew if they did the law. But what the word of God is proving to you is that what comes out of my mouth, I don't need your help. That he has to send Gabriel. Gabriel even lets him know what his position is.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm not just one of those other angels. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let me just remind you where I come from. No. See, I come from the right side of the throne. I'm in the place of authority that is about to speak to you. Now, if you don't study the Bible, you probably would have skipped that. 400 years without God speaking and no miracles displayed. Not one thing happened that was godly from heaven until the word is spoken. What I'm trying to tell you is there's some seasons in your life that can be dark, can be dismal, with no direction and no clarity. You don't see God moving. You don't hear God speaking. You don't even see things coming to pass in your life that you have read. 400 years, that's a long time. The mere fact that the angel showed up ended a dry season of the heavenlies. That would have been enough to make you shout right there. Let the angel show up in your life. Are you so comfortable because you see angels all the time? Hey. They wear diapers and they're like this, right? No. That's not going to scare me. I see a little angel over here with diapers. And the angel that came, he even said, hey, my name is Gabriel. I'm going to let you know who I am. And don't you second guess and try to name me something else because what you want, this is who I am. This is my name. I'm Gabriel. Matter of fact, I come from the right side of the altar where real authority is. Childless. A miracle was needed. And a word was spoken. Interesting how when it was spoken to the husband, but the miracle didn't come through the husband. Came through the wife. Came manifested. Manifested. People think, well, women shouldn't be preaching. Women shouldn't be speaking. Women don't have a place. Women have every place. Every place. So we see now all of a sudden that things begin to change because he was silent. Has God spoken something to you and you start putting your mouth? You know, we heard some testimonies right here. We heard some doubt in both testimonies. Did we not? Oh, so God could have just canceled all of that right there at that moment, couldn't he? But he didn't. Because what comes out of his mouth is still going to be performed. You read down in the chapter, the same angel, Gabriel, shows up now to, what's the mother of Jesus? What's her name? Mary, right? She was a high priest, right? No high priest? She wasn't of the priesthood? Oh, she was a Jew? No? She was a Gentile? Wait a minute. She wasn't married? She was just engaged. So did God see fit to go against everything that the religious society said needed to be a certain way. Because when God has his intention in mind and his focus is to get something accomplished here on the earth, he's not looking to see where you came from. He's not looking to see what religious sect you're from, nor is he looking to see if you carry around, you know, the little card that they give you when you become a minister, whatever, you get ordained, and they go, and then they got to shrink it down, and then they shrink it down, and then they shrink it down, then go ahead and put what do you call that thing? They laminate it. See, I went down to the jail to go talk to go see Eric. Check on the website, and they say, oh, clergy can come anytime. Clergy? I don't do clerical. Oh, you know, cloth. Get down there. Sure. I said, did you get approved by, what was his name? Oh, Mr. White. Huh? Did you get approved by Mr. White? What? Why you got to go racial with me now? Because I'm Mexican? I didn't say it. I just thought it. So I'm like, man, that didn't make no sense. So I get on the phone. Got him on the phone. Called and left a message. No, he called. He called. Later that day, he called. Who are you? You call me. He says, I understand you were down at the jail and you wanted to go see someone at the jail, and you're not on my list. That's why I called you. I'm going to call you to get on the list. Well, what church are you with? Well, the House of Manna. Well, I've never heard of it before. You start taking those deep breaths, and I was in the middle of HEB parking lot. Yes, sir, I understand. My website is thehouseofmanna.com. There's my phone number. What do you need me to do? He says, I need you to fax right now. Here's my number. Right now, you need to fax this sheet over to me. I said, I'm not at my office. Well, you need to get it to me right now. Real rude. Tell me the number. Tells me the number. Did you get it? No, I didn't get it. Thank you. Goodbye. I love you, Eric. It ain't going to happen because that guy ain't going to let me in. Don't you know he calls me back? Calls me back. Oh, Pastor Perez, I did get you on the list. You're on the list. I'm going to go see Mr. Eric, Mr. Haig. That's what he said. I'm going to go see Mr. Haig. I'm going to try to make it down there. And then I'm going to send you a couple of links and some books that I have, because I know it's kind of tough when you have leaders that go through some stuff here. So I just want you to know I put you on the list, and you're on the list for anybody that ever winds up there. You can go minister to anybody you like. Know about me now, huh? So I didn't have to go because he came home, see? Now look. I could have been me. I could open my mouth and went to town. Oh, I will. But Lord said, just be. No, we're saying, Zechariah, shut up. Okay. I'll work it out for you. I know I wanted to jump over that phone, and you know, that's how we get. Now, think about it, how Zechariah felt at that moment when the angel said, oh, because you doubt it, I'm going to shut your mouth up so you can't talk. You think he would have got mad? You think he would have got mad? Well, I think so, too. But watch this. Here's the difference now. If you read down in the gospel, you begin to see how the angel comes to Mary now, who is nothing through any lineage at all. They can't really even find the lineage where she's from. Find it. Scholars, find it. Here's what happens. The same angel speaks to her and says, you're going to have a child. Here's the question. She asked a question too, like Zacharias. But she didn't ask in disbelief. She asked in belief. Do you see the difference? She asked, well, how will this be? In other words, I take your word, it's true. How will this be? So the angel, oh, since you're not in disbelief, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And at that moment, you will give birth. But you're going to carry the Son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. So we know all that. That's all great. We begin to get into the Christmas story, the nativity, which is all wrong. It is. Don't look. Don't shout me down either. It's wrong. How many wise men were there? Raise your hand. How many wise men are there? No, they're not. There's not. There's three gifts. They didn't say how many wise men. Yeah, and then not only that, when they see the star, it's the birth. They weren't there at his birth. Not in the manger. It's done later. It's done later. When they come to the house. You understand? There's some things that, because we find it more interesting to paint a pretty picture of the babies in the manger. Yeah, get cute. Look, they put in the... They put them in the manger. It's better that if we have the wise men and we take them from the house to bring them to the manger, because it's better that way. And so they present gifts to the baby Jesus. But see, all these things that took place, we kind of just accepted to be the birth of Jesus. This timing. And God said, you know what? It don't matter. However you want to celebrate, you celebrate. But here's the main thing is, don't forget the reason. A word was spoken so that the word became manifest. And when the word became manifest, it became manifested in flesh. When she received the word, even though she questioned how, not in disbelief, but in belief, the angel did not curse her. The angel blessed her. See, here's the thing that you've got to take from this parallel here, is that when God speaks something to you, don't use your word. Bless your word. Whether you've got to be quiet and be still, or you just got to say, let your word be manifested as you have spoken. See, some things take place in our life that are manifest because it's God's purpose. It's God's purpose for it to manifest. It's not our job to try to figure it out. He has a purpose behind it, why he's doing it. If we try to put this little thing up here that we think that we know it all, you know, because we're so smart. We have books. We mess things up. But when you really receive a word from God, your job is just to believe it. That's it. Regardless of what comes your way, regardless of what tries to stop, tries to come and speak against it, because it's been trying to be ripped apart, that's a sure sign you need to keep going. Regardless. Because if you don't have naysayers, then you ain't going against the grain. Because if you're doing something fresh and new, something that they can't explain, that's why they tried to stop the move of Azusa, because they didn't understand. Some things will happen in y'all's life, your life, that you're not even going to have an understanding. And you're going to try to figure it out, but you can't. God's purpose is going to be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled. It's just knowing that he's called you. He's appointed you for an appointed time. And when you know that, regardless of what comes against you, I guess everybody, regardless of what comes against you, the word will. be fulfilled. That's it. See what I read in the rest of the story? What was deposited in her, she got around people of the same spirit that would carry the same thing. And she stayed there until it manifested. So that it wouldn't allow for other people to get into a place of negativity, being judgmental, being jealous. Many of you know, when God starts moving in your life, people get jealous. All kinds of jealousy happens. Doesn't it happen to him? Jealousy. Doesn't it happen to him? But it's only to make you stronger and to build you up more. Because what's inside of you is only going to come out even greater with the persecution that comes your way. Before you were ever born, the Lord spoke to your mother and said that she will grow so quickly. She'll be more mature than her own age. She'll grow very quickly of an understanding. The Lord spoke that to your mother before you were ever born. Just know this, what comes against you is because what's inside of you is strong and resilient. And if they cannot respect you, they don't need to be around you. Value who you are. And value what God has given you. You may not know word, but you know him. In time, the word will be so inside of you that you'll be able to just quote it out all you want to quote it. But one thing you do understand is his love and his promises. But if they can't get with you and they can't treat you right, then you need to get rid of them. And it's going to hurt because they're close to you. But when they mistreat you enough, that's when it's enough. Goes forth. All you've got to do is just hold on. He'll manifest it. He'll do it. Not only will he do it, he'll do it perfect. Perfect. In a way that you wouldn't think it would happen. It's going to happen. Much greater and much more, because that's what God has promised you. Hold on to it. Just hold on to it. So I don't know you. I know your family. I made you shake your hands. You have a wonderful and beautiful family. You're a blessed man. You, sir. I bless you.